suspension is a preliminary action. You know, it's taken very early on in the process before the record is complete, but where there's a need to act to protect the integrity of the government processes until the investigation can be complete. In a way, I mean, this is an informal process, but you can kind of think of it as like a TRO for procurement and grants programs in terms of freezing the status quo where there's an appropriate reason to do that. So, you know, pending completion of investigation or, say, legal proceedings or debarment action. Debarment then is end game. That's the ultimate decision. Suspension's initial, temporary, can't be used to substitute for debarment. Suspension if you've got an indictment, which establishes the existence of the, evidentiary basis for cause for suspension, the suspension can run till the legal proceedings are complete. But otherwise, it's limited 12 months or maximum of an additional 6 months for a total of 18 months with a letter from the Department of Justice requesting the extension of the suspension for that time. But it's a limited stage. Debarment, as I said, is the ultimate decision. Generally, it's for a fixed period of time, generally not to exceed 3 years. Can be longer, though, if circumstances warrant. But debarment's the final decision.
Mr. Sims, let's break into why there's such an uneven use of suspension and debarment across agencies, even among members of your interagency committee.
Suspension debarment's a business decision. Each agency's got its own mission, its own unique operational structure, level of resources to apply, and also level of activity in terms of grants or contracts. The process of identifying a lead agency, because we really operate with a set of government-wide rules on a government-wide plane, because debarments really has been about, in essence, stigma, since it goes to business integrity and honesty. We have a due process built in for the, for reaching decisions. But the process of identifying a lead agency initially, that is the agency really with the most appropriate interest to act on behalf of the government, allows us to speak with one voice and for the lead agency to take into consideration all of the facts and interests that go to a decision to suspend or debar. Also, really, by now, most agencies have an effective and robust program or are in the process of putting one in place. ISDC members have been working very hard recently to ensure that agencies, put the proper emphasis on suspension and debarment, dedicate the necessary resources. And to ensure that that happens, also, OMB, in November 15th of last year, issued a memo direct to all executive branch agencies directing agencies to take actions to strengthen suspension debarment programs. Through a series of steps, agencies have to appoint a senior accountable official responsible for assessing and ensuring the presence of, effective programs, effective resources. They have to review internal procedures and policies to ensure that they have an effective program in place, and also to actively participate in the ISDC.
Congress now and OMB prior to that has focused on suspensions and debarments because it sounds like they just don't think enough of them were happening. Do you see this use of this tool increasing in the next couple of years?
Well, I certainly see an upsurge in participation involvement of the ISDC and agencies. One of our functions is to act as a center of excellence, in essence. We have experienced members. I've been doing suspension debarment directly from the decision end of things since 1988, and before that, I was involved in the case development representation end, going back as far as say 83 at EPA.
So you're kind of a professional grim reaper here.
No, I wouldn't call this a grim reaper. This is a business risk decision. It's just like what anybody does with their own money, except because we're all taxpayers, and tax respondents are taxpayers. There's due process that court cases have driven the evolution of rules to incorporate appropriate level of due process. And we're not about putting people out of business. It's really about ensuring that the government has its potential partners, because it's really prospective, responsible players.
And once a company is debarred, how do they get back into doing business?
Debarment isn't like a sentence, like you're doing 5 to 10 on a debarment rap. Debarment is a present condition. The rules expressly say that anyone who's debarred can petition at any time for reinstatement, depending upon a persuasive showing that they've dealt with the problem. In terms of the analysis, you really have two prongs. One, is there past misconduct? And there's different ways to get to that. The rules provide you've been convicted. It's not based upon an offense. If it's factual, the government's got the burden of proof. There's an evidentiary process. you know, again, this, to meet that standard of evidence. Once that happens, though, that's not the end of the analysis. You really, the debarring official looks to see whether there are appropriate mitigating factors and remedial measures. It's on the responsibility of the contractor or participant who's proposed for debarment to demonstrate persuasively that they've dealt with the problem. It's all about the present and about, have you dealt with the problem? Are you now potentially, you know, a good potential partner and not a continuing risk? So really, in a way, you can say this is about heading them off at the pass. You, rather than dealing with the problem after the fact, you know, and there are enforcement and, you know, and prosecutorial remedies for that, this is about dealing with the problem up, you know, at the front end to avoid the problem in the first place.
David Sims is the Interior Department's Debarment and Suspension Program Manager, as well as the chair of the Interagency Suspension and Debarment Committee. You've talked about one agency having to take the lead in suspending or debarring a company. I'm wondering, is there ever a conflict among members of the interagency committee when one agency wants to do this and another agency that is doing business with this contractor does not?
This is not about existing contracts. The rules say that the debarment and suspension apply to new awards. It's an informal process, but certainly it happens up front before the action is taken. And the whole idea is, you know, as with any system, you know, we hope it operates effectively, and that's one of the things we're looking at is ways, say, using, you know, increased reliance on technology, websites, for example, internal to the government that can be consulted to coordinate those interests. Informally, usually the agency that's got the greatest interest, is there a large contractor or potentially, you know, in terms of the service or goods offered, or the recipient, the idea is that the agency best situated to take the action will act on behalf of the government. And lead agency doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Lone Ranger. So that the interest of the government, even once an agency has the matter, can be coordinated internally in terms of whatever's at issue.